Extract 2. Questions 37 to 42. You hear a practice nurse called Bruce Wilkins giving a presentation about a project aimed at delaying the onset of dementia amongst older patients. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 37 to 42.
I'm here today to talk about a new project at our practice which we hope will delay or even prevent the onset of dementia in our patients. Dementia is on track to be the deadliest disease of the century, and globally it poses the greatest healthcare and social challenges. A recent study revealed that preserving and improving brain health throughout life could reduce the number of cases by up to 35%. And it was this that prompted us to try something different. The research identified 9 potentially modifiable health and lifestyle factors which can increase or reduce risk. We've decided to take this on board and roll out an inexpensive, small-scale and very simple project. The starting point was to get as many patients as possible to go for a test with an audiologist. Listening to the radio, watching television, and picking up meaning in a conversation provide access to a cognitively rich environment. This helps to build something called cognitive reserve, where the brain strengthens its networks and makes it more resilient to deterioration in later life. This explains why the most important risk factor for dementia is having a hearing loss after the age of 45. So, we sent all of our patients over this age a text message giving them information about where they could find a local audiologist. GPs follow this up at their next appointment and discuss the outcome. It turned out that quite a few patients had been struggling with hearing aids, so one of our receptionists was trained to solve technical problems and she helps them get back on track. The study showed that learning new skills throughout life also builds cognitive reserve. Certain activities have been found to offer particularly effective protection because they form and strengthen brain synapses, and I'm convinced that the most efficient two are learning a foreign language or a musical instrument. So the second thing we did was set up 2 free learning groups for anyone over the age of 45. We asked patients to suggest what they'd most like to learn and then worked out what we could realistically offer at a minimal cost, and we've ended up with guitar and French lessons. They're very popular and sparked demand for other groups such as a book club and a model airplane building group. My favourite part of the project is the activity groups run by an ex-GP called George. He's recognised that what's good for the heart is good for the brain. The combined risk factor for dementia of physical inactivity, obesity, and hypertension was 9%. George is a very keen walker and organises a group which meets twice a week to walk through the beautiful countryside we are lucky enough to have on our doorstep. The group is very well attended and has revealed many more benefits than we originally anticipated. Not only will it hopefully produce helpful results in terms of physical health, but it's leading to stronger friendships, meaning that those who take part are less susceptible to depression and social isolation, which are also risk factors. That's what I love most about these groups. The benefits are multidimensional. So that's where we are with the project at the moment, but it's forever evolving. We've been contacted by other local practices who are interested in setting up similar schemes and hope that in the future we'll be able to work together in terms of sharing good practice, offering a wider range of groups and building attendance. The next thing on our list is to reduce the number of smokers at our practice. This would lead to huge benefits across the board, so finding an alternative to the usual cessation groups, which are very poorly attended, would be a game changer, not only financially, but practically too. Ultimately, I'd like to see ideas like ours being shared more freely at a national level. We could be missing out on opportunities that would make a huge difference. You may be thinking that the outcomes of our project are unlikely to be dramatic, and the findings of the study are unlikely to be replicated exactly. But because we see the far-reaching effects and terrible strain the disease puts on family, carers, and the health service, we believe that even the smallest improvement would significantly benefit our community and potentially our society as a whole. There's nothing to lose, and so far participants have only gained in terms of new skills and friendships. I think the findings revealed in the study tell us it's time we change the way we tackle dementia, or at least try. Otherwise, we risk allowing dementia to shape our society and the course of our lives.
That is the end of Part C. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers.